Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I'd like to give you guys a warning. Do you remember, some of you might be old enough that you remember some space show with Will Robinson in it. Remember the robot used to go, "Warning, warning, Will Robinson." Okay, I have one of those. "Warning, warning, Will Robinson." PalTalk is going to start offering upgrades. And if you upgrade this time, I think it's possible. I haven't clicked upgrade yet. But I think it's possible it's going to be significantly different. And so what I will try and do, I don't think I can get to it today. What I'll try and do tomorrow is create a quick start guide for the new PalTalk. But if you've already upgraded and if it is significantly different, what they've done is they've made the PC PalTalk match the Mac PalTalk. Which means if you go to awakening-together.org, click on Online Sanctuary, and then How to Enter the Sanctuary, you'll see where I've created three PalTalk guides. One is for the PC. That's this older version of PalTalk. And then one is for the Mac. So what you could do until I get the new PC one created is you could click on the Mac one, and you know, there will be a lot of similarities. In fact, the way you download it is different on the Mac, and the way you open it is different on the Mac, but the way you use it once it's open is exactly the same. So if anybody has already clicked on upgrade, or if you happen to click on upgrade and you're shocked with a completely new appearance, go check out that PalTalk for the Mac, and then as soon as possible, I'll get a new PalTalk for the PC so that as people upgrade, they're not lost. Okay? That's my warning. I think a couple people have already discovered that. I think Bart has already got a new PalTalk upgraded. I downloaded PalTalk the other day. I didn't upgrade. When I downloaded it for the PC, it was a new version. But I still have this old version, too. I have both versions right now. But now this old version wants to update. So I'm suspecting. I haven't clicked it, but I'm suspecting it's going to be that completely new PalTalk. So I wanted to let you guys know. And I'll get that book done. Today I have other things to do, but I'll see if I can write that book tomorrow. I can write books pretty quickly. All right. So welcome to The Guiding Light. And today we're going to be looking at NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's pretty short. You know, I don't know. I haven't read it yet, so I don't know what words are going to come out of my mouth. I might talk about it for a whole hour. But if I don't, we'll move on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we're going to look at 13 today and possibly start 14. If you have NTI and you like to read along with me, that means that we're starting on page 302. Okay, and Nirmala says he just updated, and there seems to be several moments where the mic cuts in and out. Is anyone else hearing that? And they're saying, yep. How about those of you that are on the older version of PalTalk? Am I also cutting out for you? I want to just know if it's me. I'm not cutting out for you. Okay. All right. Well, that's what happens with software, right? Nirmala is cutting out for you. Oh, Nirmala was fine for me. So it might be a server thing. Yeah, it might be a server thing, depending on which server. When you log on, PalTalk has a lot of different servers. And depending on the server you happen to get on, you could have a different service experience. And I just listened to Nirmala, and I did not hear him cutting in and out. So maybe I'm on a different server than some of you all. So sometimes when that happens for you, sometimes it's helpful just to get completely out of PalTalk and then come back in, and maybe you'll land on a different server. And maybe hear better. Maybe not, but but sometimes it's worth a try. Yeah. You learn all these tricks when you hang around PalTalk for years. All right, so what I think I would like to do, because I'd like to have that shift before I start you know, the teaching experience. And I think what I would like to do is play that music. That's the way I do that shift. So this morning I was listening to the Michael Singer audio that the Gentle Healing Group is listening to this week, the Surrender Experiment interview. And the whole time I was listening to that song, to that audio, I kept thinking of this song. So I'm going to play this song. This song was actually written by Michael Singer, and it's sung by Kathy Zavada. And the name of this particular song is Who Lights the Stars? All right. Thank you guys for coaching me on how it sounded to you. I appreciate that. By the time you liked it, it sounded so low on my end. It's kind of funny. Yeah, when I turned it down, it was very, very low here, but it seems like that's what was working for you. All right. So, as I mentioned, we are going to... we're going to start with NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on page 302. The reason for all things is love. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. Love cannot exclude. Love is whole, knowing only truth. And, of course, just starting this, it immediately reminds me of that loving all method that those of us who are in the Gentle Healing Group are now practicing. It's just saying that love cannot exclude, right? Love embraces everything. And as I've mentioned to you all before, one thing I really love about the loving all method is it gives us those options so that if there is something that we cannot love, like Nirmala was just talking about the example of nuclear war, because someone had asked a question about that. If nuclear war happened, it might be challenging to feel love, right? But maybe then we could accept that this happened. And if that was still too much of a reach for some people, then the loving all method gives that emotionally allow your own emotions about what has happened. But what's really interesting about the loving all method is it doesn't try to exclude. It doesn't reject. And that's kind of interesting because, I have contemplated this, on and off again for a number of years. Things like this loving all method, because as you can tell, I had mentioned to you all I was aware of the loving all method before I heard of the loving all method, and as you can see, it's showing up right here in NTI. So this was introduced to me a very, very long time ago through NTI. And so I've contemplated this a number of times as it's come up in my lifetime. And, at first, when it was first introduced to me, it actually didn't make much sense to me because of the way my mind was at the time. It didn't make much sense to me. For example, if we take something like nuclear war, it didn't make sense to, quote, love that. How could you love something like that? But love has been reinterpreted in my mind to not be that emotional feeling, but to be an openness. You could call it the opposite of rejection. Maybe sometimes it's easier to define truth qualities by saying what they're not. So it's not rejection. Right? Love is not rejection. And so as I've contemplated this deeply, I've realized that the opposite of love is simply insane. Because when you are rejecting something that's there, you're just telling yourself a lie. You're just lying to yourself and causing your own pain. If nuclear war happens, to reject it emotionally, to reject it, is just not facing the reality of the experience at the time. It's really not sane, right? If you go to the doctor and you're told you have cancer, to emotionally reject that is simply not facing the situation that has been put in front of you in the moment. It's a form of denial. Rejection and denial are really the same thing. So even though this loving all method did not make sense to me when it was first introduced to me, the more I've contemplated, what's really happened is that the opposite does not make sense to me. The rejecting what is there does not make sense. That's denial. It's insanity. It just doesn't make sense. It's much, much more sane to accept that it's there. Okay, it's there. Okay, this happened. Now what? right? You accept it. And so this loving all method now is, to me, it's very, very natural. It's very natural because the opposite of it is insane. So if I go back to how NTI 1 Corinthians introduces this, the reason for all things is love. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. Love cannot exclude. Love is whole, knowing only truth. Become as an empty shell to know love. That is your reason. That is your true desire. To look on the world and divide it by judging is not love, and so it is not what you want. Lay down what you do not want and accept joyfully that which you do. So this first sentence is very interesting to me. It says, become as an empty shell to know love. And that, again, makes perfect sense because it is that thinking mind that is judging, right? It is that thinking mind that is saying, oh, no, you know, this is bad. The weather is bad lately. You know, we've had lots of storms. That's bad. That's just not okay. I don't like lots and lots of thunderstorms. I don't like flooding. I don't like tornadoes. That's all bad. Right? That's all the thinking mind, all of that chatter. And become as the empty shell, as you know, if you've been listening to this series or if you know NTI, to become as the empty shell means to let go of all of that thinking, to let go of all of that chatter. And in fact, NTI 1 Corinthians asks us to let go of all of that thinking and to hold only to trust. Trusting what is, we could call that. To hold only to trust. And so the way to really practice the loving all method is to let go of that judging, critical, rejecting mind, the thinking mind. By the way, I want to just take a little side trip because it keeps knocking on my mind while I'm talking. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. And yet it knocks again. So since it keeps knocking, I'm just going to take a little side trip and tell you all something and then I'll come back. So here's the side trip. This morning I was listening to Awakening Together Radio and I think based on the voice, I was probably listening to Roger Castillo. I'm not sure how you say his name. He is the one who, more of you may know Lisa Carnes. And she talks about Roger, who was her teacher and her boyfriend. That's this Roger Castillo, right? So I was listening to Awakening Together Radio this morning, and Roger was speaking. I only listened for about 10 minutes to Roger. Because then I remembered I wanted to go listen to the Michael Singer audio instead. But in the 10 minutes that I was listening to Roger, he used some terms that I thought were really useful terms. He was talking about the same thing that everybody else talks about, but he was using different terms, and I really liked his terms. He was talking about what A Course in Miracles would call the right mind and the wrong mind, or what A Course in Miracles might call the Holy Spirit and the ego, right? He was talking about these two parts of the mind. Only he called them the thinking mind and the working mind, which I thought was quite interesting. He said that the thinking mind is the mind that you want to let go of. He said the working mind is the practical, useful, wise mind. You know, the working mind, first of all, that's the mind that learns things like mathematics and how to drive a car and how to use a computer program, you know, and humans need that working mind, right? But he says, in addition, the working mind is the part of the mind, and he used this word, attack. He says the working mind is the part of the mind that attacks the thinking mind. And by attack, he meant what we usually call inquiry, because he went on to give examples. So like if the thinking mind was saying, oh my gosh, I'm babbling so much. I should just shut up. Why did I go off track here? You know, then the working mind is the mind that might say, is that true? Are you sure you're just babbling? You know, are you absolutely sure that there's not a reason why you went off on this sidetrack. Maybe somebody needed to hear this, right? So that's what he meant by attack. He says the working mind attacks the thinking mind, but we tend to use the word inquiry instead. The working mind inquires. And I see Jacqueline saying that she has heard Fred Davis use those two terms in that way too. I thought those are really, really helpful terms though, for a couple of reasons. One, when we use the terms Holy Spirit and ego for some people, the Holy Spirit becomes this imaginary being, this imaginary light being, that maybe they aren't even, able to get in contact with, or maybe they aren't even worthy enough to get in contact with, and it becomes this elusive thing that doesn't feel like a part of them, right, outside of ourselves, yeah. And so that term isn't really super, super helpful for at least some people, right? So, and I think right mind and wrong mind are fine. I don't see anything, I haven't run across any experiences with those words not being helpful. But also, you know, we talk a lot about you have to let go of the mind. You have to let go of the thinking mind. And that's true. But if we don't talk about the part of the mind that remains, the part of the mind that stays, some people, because the ego loves to confuse things, some people start to feel guilty for things like, you know, thinking, what do I need to get at the store, and making a list. Like they think they're not supposed to do that, right? Oh, I'm not supposed to think about what I need to get at the store. I'm just supposed to go and grab things. And then when they get home, they find out they don't have everything they need to make the casserole they were going to make or whatever, you know? So I really like those terms, the working mind, which is the same as the right mind, but the working mind is there for the human to operate in the way a human operates, just like a dog has a certain type of mind that helps them be a dog, and a bird has a certain type of mind that helps them be a bird. A human has a certain type of mind that helps them be a human. Yeah, Kathy's calling it the practical mind. And that's just a part of the human, the human being. And so that mind stays. That mind is helpful. That mind will be there as long as there is a human experience. It's this thinking mind, this chattering mind, this wrong mind, this ego mind, right? These words all mean the same thing. This is the mind we have to let go of. It really doesn't serve a useful purpose. So when this says become as an empty shell to know love, and it's talking about letting go of all of those thoughts, This is talking about that chattering mind, that ego mind, that thinking mind, right? You want to completely empty that out. It doesn't mean you need to forget mathematics or forget language. Yeah, and I see Well61 saying, thank you for making these distinctions very helpful. So you see, it kept knocking on my mind to make this whole side trip for a reason, right? We just have to trust all things. So back to NTI then, become as an empty shell to know love. Let go of that thinking mind. Let go of that chattering mind to know love, or to know that openness that doesn't exclude. The phone's ringing. I got a little distracted. I got a little distracted because I'm waiting for a phone call from a realtor regarding a property for the retreat house. So it's a little on the important side to me. You know, it matters to me. But that's not who it is calling. So, all right. So again, we need to let go of that thinking mind in order to know love, or to know complete inclusion without exclusion, without any rejection, because it is the mind that rejects. And as long as we listen to that thinking mind, as long as we believe that thinking mind, that rejection mechanism is just going to keep happening. You know, there are going to be some people I like and some people I don't like. Or even with a particular person, even the person I like the most, there'll be some things about him or her that I like and some things about him or her that I don't like. And in fact, even me. Right? There's going to be things about me that I like and things about me I don't like. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. That's the way that mind works. So we can't know love and believe that mind at the same time. It's an impossibility. So become as an empty shell to know love. Now it says that is your reason. This is why you want to become an empty shell. That is your reason. That is your true desire. Now, this could be speaking to me specifically, because, you know, NTI came through me. Because my motivation for beginning the spiritual path was that I wanted to be only love. I wanted to be only love, nothing else. I wanted everything else cleared out, even though I didn't even know that much when I started. And those of you who have heard this story before, you know that really what happened was I read a book. And the name of that book was Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Works in Her Own Words. And when I read that book about her life, I knew intuitively that she knew love as a power and as the only real power in the universe, and that I only knew love as a weak emotion. I mean, that's how it seemed by comparison. I knew love as a weak emotion, and she knew it as the only real power in the universe. And I wanted to know what she knew. I also perceived her as having completely merged with this power, that she was the walking representation of this power, that she was only love. Right? That's how I perceived her. She was only love. There was nothing left. And I wanted that same experience. I wanted that experience of knowing only love, being only love, seeing only love. Right? I always thought it was really interesting when I was being coached by Michael Langford a couple of years ago on how to learn to meditate, and I was struggling, and he recommended the loving consciousness method to me. He sent me an email recommending this method of meditation. And immediately, the first time I tried the loving consciousness meditation, I was able to go half an hour, which for me back then, that was like a bonanza to go a whole half an hour of meditating. And I wrote to him and I said, oh, you're a genius. Or I said, you're brilliant or something like that. And then he thought, you know, after that experience, he thought, well, I think I'll write a book. I'm going to write a book about the loving consciousness method, because he didn't have one. And boy, when Michael makes his mind up about something, it's amazing how fast he is. And within 4 weeks, that book was done. You know, so he wrote this book. But what I thought was really interesting was when he picked the title. The title of the book was How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. And I thought, isn't that amazing that he would have picked that title when writing a book, you know, kind of for me, I mean, for everyone, but it was helping me to learn meditation at that time, when that was my original inspiration, right? That's what I wanted, is I wanted to live a life that knew only love. And Kathy, I see you're asking about ACIM. Do you mean about how fast Michael wrote that book? It was whirlwind fast. Seemed to me like it was 2 weeks. It might have been three. Whirlwind fast. Yeah, he wrote that book really quickly. By the way, he has sent me his Course in Miracles. So I have it with all of his little circles and stuff, so that when somebody says, where is that in the course, you know, I can find it. I think that's what I'm supposed to do with it. But yeah, he picked out the direct post. I couldn't believe anybody even read the course that quickly. But yes, he's very, very fast. I told him, I don't think, when he's working on a project, I don't think he sleeps. I think he just turns into a project machine. But now we are getting off the track a little bit. So when we get back to NTI, what this says is, become as an empty shell to know love. And then it says, that is your reason. That is your true desire. So that may have been talking directly to me. Maybe that resonates with some of you, or maybe that resonates with all of you. But what this is saying is, at least to me, is you started this path because you wanted to be only love. You cannot succeed if you choose to hold on to your thinking mind. That's what this says to me. You know, if you really want to be only love, which is what set you out on this path, then you need to be willing to let go of this thinking mind, this chattering mind, because it is your obstacle. Now, what's also funny about this, if you know anything about, you know, Regina Don Akers and the writing of the book NTI, you know, is pretty clear, I think, that the thinking mind is the obstacle. It shows up pretty clearly in Luke. It shows up pretty clearly right here. It also shows up in the book of Revelation. I, the scribe, did not see that until the book of Revelation. I had written all of NTI. All of NTI. I was in the last few chapters when I realized that it was telling me the thinking mind was the obstacle. And I think what that shows is how attached we can be to our thinking minds, or at least how attached I was to my thinking mind. Here I am writing, scribing NTI, and over again in a lot of different ways, it's telling me the thinking mind is the obstacle, the thinking mind has to be let go, and I don't even get it. I don't even see it myself until the last few chapters. And what I also remember when I started a when I realized that, what that's what NTI was saying, and I started teaching that at this earlier time in the community of A Course in Miracles, people, you know, many people were outraged. They were outraged that I should suggest that we would let go of our thinking mind, you know. But I think what's happened, you know, that was probably what, close to 10 years ago? So I think what's happened over time is it's kind of settled in more with those of us from the Course in Miracles community and maybe some other spiritual communities as well. It's settled in more that we are talking about letting go of the thinking mind. That mind, that it can also be called the me mind, right? The me mind. It's the mind that's always talking about me and mine. That me mind is the obstacle. And so this is attempting to encourage me to have the willingness to lay down that me mind, to lay down that thinking mind, by pointing out that this was my true desire. This is why I started the spiritual path. It's kind of like I have a master standing in front of me, holding me a jewel. And saying, here's the jewel you said you wanted. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, no, that's not the jewel I wanted. I wanted a different jewel. I wanted to be only love. That jewel is the let go of the thinking mind jewel. I wanted a different jewel. And saying, no, they're the same jewel. Letting go of the thinking mind is how you be only love. It's the same jewel. This is the jewel you want. Take it, right? So become as an empty shell to know love. That is your reason. That is your true desire. To look on the world and divide it by judging is not love. And so it is not what you want. Lay down what you do not want and accept joyfully that which you do. So take this jewel that is the letting go of the thinking mind. Because it's the same jewel as the be only love. You have to take the whole thing. When you look on the world, you see the reflection of your mind, which makes the world through thought. What you believe and what you accept is seen in the world. There is division in what you see. Because there is division in your thought. This thought is not love. This thought is the denial of love, which is all that truly exists. You know, and anyone who has gone any distance on this spiritual path, you know, with sincerity, can tell you that as your mind changes, the way you see the world changes too. In fact, one of those changes that you begin to see, well, there's a few that come to mind right now, but one of those changes that you begin to see is you begin to notice, for example, more synchronicities. And as you begin to notice more synchronicities, you begin to realize there's a connection there that you can't see. Right? Because how would this person know to show up with this thing at this time unless there was a connection there that we can't see? And so even though, you know, the eyes still see bodies, and bodies, you know, appear separated by space, you know, there's space between those two bodies. the seeing actually starts to see the connection. So the division literally disappears. The division disappears as the mind is let go, as the thinking mind is let go, as the false beliefs are let go, as the me thinking is let go. Right? So when you look on the world, you see the reflection of your mind, which makes the world through thought. What you believe and what you accept is seen in the world. And accept here means accept as true. What you believe and what you accept as true. So, you know, I think I heard Nirmala mention conspiracy theories. I don't know which theories he was talking about. but, you know, there are definitely conspiracy theories that happen out there. And I noticed that some people are much more interested in conspiracy theories than other people. Right? It's like a personality tendency, I would call it. And so the personalities that lean towards conspiracy theories, they'll see all of these conspiracy theories and all of these different current events, where the person who has the personality that does not lean towards conspiracy theories looks at the exact same thing and doesn't see a conspiracy theory at all. You know, just sees that's just things that are happening. That's just the way it's unfolding, right? So where's the difference? The difference is in the mind of the seer. The outside situation is exactly the same. But the difference is in the mind of the seer. So regardless of what the outside circumstance is, we see based on what we're believing, or we see based on what we accept is true. You know, if I have accepted, because I was taught this by my parents or someone along the way, and I accepted that all politicians are corrupt, and maybe I've also accepted that all rich people, all bankers, you know, all lawyers, they're all corrupt, and I was raised with this way of thinking, then I may be much more likely to see a conspiracy thing. A conspiracy theory playing out between the lawyers, the bankers, and the politicians, than if I was raised with parents who were much more trusting, who were always telling me everybody's doing the best they can. They make mistakes, but, you know, everybody's trying to do what they think is right. And then I might just see things in a completely different way. So it's based on what I accept as true. Do I accept as true that all politicians, all bankers, and all lawyers are corrupt? Or do I accept as true that everybody's doing the best as they can? It's just the issues they deal with are very complicated issues. Right? So again, NTI says, what you believe and what you accept is seen in the world. And then it's telling me, the scribe, there is division in what you see because there is division in your thought. And I remember having a huge struggle probably around this time. Because one of the things that NTI would say when I was writing NTI, especially I think in NTI Acts, is NTI would say there's only one will. There's only God's will. And that was really difficult for me because I'd look out on the world and say, boy, I don't see just one will. I see a lot of wills. I feel every single person has their own will. In fact, I look at Jamie the dog. Jamie the dog has her own will. You know, she has what she wants. I just see a lot of wills, and those wills are always conflicting. And this was a conflict for me because, again, the book that I was writing or scribing, NTI, kept saying there's only one will, there's only God's will. And yet I saw, you know, multiple wills. And so what this is doing is this is telling me why I have that conflict. It says there is division in what you see because there is division in your thought. And I can look back in my mind and, you know, partially remember that time of my life. I can't remember all of the great details, but I can partially remember that time in my life, and I can remember people that I was rejecting. I disapproved of how they led their lives. And I rejected them on the inside, right? This is an inner reject, and I rejected them on the inside. So I was dividing. I wasn't accepting everyone as they were. Therefore, because I was dividing, I saw division. It's that clear. There is division in what you see because there is division in your thought. This thought is not love. So this is reminding me again, you know, your spiritual aspiration was to be only love. Yet while you are rejecting these particular individuals in your heart, you can't be only love. You can't have it both ways. Love does not reject. Love does not divide. There is division in what you see because there is division in your thought. This thought is not love. This thought is the denial of love, which is all that truly exists. And now again, it's really getting to me. Bye, Jacqueline. It's really getting to me because it's telling me, you know, you started this spiritual path because of this inspiration, this woman peace pilgrim, who knew this power, which was the only real power in the universe, the only thing that actually existed. And she called it love. And you started this spiritual path because you said you want to see as she sees. You wanted to be as she was. And yet, you are turning down the opportunity to have that experience by rejecting these people, these few people. It was a few people. Rejecting these few people in your heart. And it's putting this in front of me so that I can see what I'm doing to myself. You know, it kind of reminds me again of Nirmala. He was just saying, you know, he was just saying in the hour before, what do you really, really want? What do you really, really want? Do you want those few people to live their life in a different way? To be the kind of people you want them to be? Or do you want to be only love? What do you really, really want? And that question is a question that, you know, is also in NTI. This question is a question that has always come to me as a teaching. What do I truly want? That's the wording that came to me. What do I truly want? And I've told you all before that that question for me was always my true north. Because if I forgot my spiritual aspiration, and, you know, I started looking at someone in my mind and thinking about how what they were doing was so wrong and they shouldn't be doing that, et cetera, et cetera, and the inner rejection is starting to happen. If I pause and I ask myself, what do I truly want? It always created what felt like a drop in me, like the surface desires, like I want him to be different than he is higher, closer to the head, the thinking mind. And the true desire, I want to be only love, see only love, know only love, that's lower. It's in the heart. So it always felt like a drop from the head to the heart. When I would ask the question, what do I truly want? There would be a drop. And with that drop would come a genuine shift. Because my true desire was strong enough and I recognized it well enough that when I dropped into the heart where the true desire lived, I no longer had interest in the thinking mind's desire that this person be different than they are. And in the heart, I would find the ability to accept them as they are, to allow them to be as they want to be. Or if I couldn't, I would go into the emotionally allow, which, as you know, back then I called rest, accept, and trust. I would go into the rest, accept, and trust, but I would move into rest, accept, and trust because I wanted love more than I wanted them to be a certain way. You could say I got my priorities straight by asking the question, what do you truly want? So there is division in what you see because there is division in your thought. This thought is not love. This thought is the denial of love. which is all that truly exists. To cease denial and see truth. So now that it's got my attention, reminding me of what I really want. So to cease denial and see truth, which you truly desire, become as an empty shell. Let go of that thinking mind. Let go of that me mind. Become as an empty shell. Let go of thoughts of division, that you may see the beauty of your oneness face to face, and you may rejoice. So again, please accept this jewel. This jewel of letting go of the thinking mind, letting go of the me mind, is the jewel of be only love. Trust is the means, and love is the reason. Give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit, because love is all that you desire. Trust is the means, and love is the reason. Now, I have found in my spiritual path that trust was very, very important. And the reason that trust was very, very important is because I unconsciously believed, I was not consciously aware of this, I could not have told you this, because I wasn't consciously aware, I unconsciously believed that my thinking mind protected me. My thinking mind kept me safe. You know, my thinking mind could do all kinds of things, in my opinion. My thinking mind could tell me how to be so that other people would like me, tell me how to dress, tell me what weight I needed to be, how I needed to look in a bikini so that other people liked me. Of course, the flip side of that was all of the self-criticism and judgment, but anyway, you know, it let me know when someone didn't like me so that I could keep my distance, make an enemy of that person, get other people on my side, make sure everybody rejected that person, then I'm safe. You know, it kept me safe regarding, you know, how I was going to just survive, you know, make my living, be safe, right? I mean, the thinking mind, I thought, was my protector, was my savior. And I think everyone thinks this until they see through it. Like, this is built in. We think our thinking mind is in our best interest. And so when a teaching comes along and we start listening to a teaching that starts asking us to let go of our thinking mind, in effect, we are letting go of the thing that we value the most. We are letting go of the thing that we think keeps us safe, makes us liked, gets us what we value, etc., etc., right? And how can you do that if you don't have trust? You have to have trust. You know, maybe, depending on who you are, maybe you call it trust in God. Maybe you call it trust in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you call it trust in the universe. Maybe you finally get to the point where you just have this general sense of trust. In fact, one of the messages that came to me said, trust. Trust. Like, the thing that you can trust is trust itself. You know, trust itself is a power, like love is a power, and you can trust trust. Trusting is always a better choice than fear. So, when this says trust is the means, what it means is if you still have a lot of doubt, if you still have a lot of distrust, you are going to fall back on your thinking mind because you believe it's going to keep you safe, or it's going to help you get what you want. It's going to help you figure everything out so that the whole world operates the way you want it to operate. If you don't have that general sense of trust, you're going to cling to the thinking mind. In order to let go of the thinking mind, you need trust. Trust is the means. And love is the reason. Again, this may have been talking specifically to me. You know, that was your spiritual aspiration. That's the reason you're doing this. You know, if my spiritual aspiration back then had been truth, like if that's the word I would have used back then, you know, I seek truth for truth's sake, this might have said trust is the means and truth is the reason. If I was a person who felt very imprisoned by life and what I sought was freedom, if that was my spiritual aspiration, this might have said trust is the means and freedom is the reason. So if this had been written directly to any of you, if your spiritual aspiration was a little different than mine, that line may have been a little different. But the point is the same. Your spiritual aspiration is the reason you're doing this. It's because it's what you truly want. Or as Nirmala said, it's what you really, really want. That's the reason. But trust is the means. You have to have trust to do this. I remember when I was talking to Ellie Ruzdar, she used the word courage. She said, you have to have courage. I think courage and trust are really just two different ways of expressing that same thing. Trust is the means and love is the reason. And then it said, give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit. And again, that could be give everything to trust in God, everything to trust in the universe, everything to trust in trust, right? Give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit because love is all that you desire. Again, bringing it back to what I really, really want. And that is the end of NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there's only 5 minutes left. I don't think I want to start 14 because, you know, it'll have its own theme. And to start it now and then end it later is going to kind of break up that theme. So one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be purely selfish. One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read my contemplations because as I've been teaching, I haven't been doing my every half hour contemplation. And I don't make them all every day ever. I always miss some. But I try to be as thorough as possible. Right. And so since I know I've missed the last couple because I was teaching, I want to go over those now and we have time. So these are my contemplations for the day. Salvation is my only function here. Getting to know my true self is my only function. For what other purpose could I have been born except the purpose of knowing myself? And I'll just pause there for a moment and tell you all that this morning when I was doing this contemplation, that perspective was a perspective that I had never had before, and it seemed entirely genuine and true. You know, people always say, why was I born? You were born to know yourself. I mean, it became so obvious to me. It's like, what other purpose could there be? What other purpose could there be? You're born to know yourself. What you are, meaning what you really are, not the false personality, not the thinking mind, but what you are is a gift. And so you're born to know the gift that you are. That's the purpose of life. To know the gift that you are. So back to my contemplation. Getting to know my true self is my only function. For what other purpose could I have been born except the purpose of knowing myself? The gift of life is given so we can celebrate life. Think about that. Why else would life be except to be celebrated? And can you think of any better gift than isness itself? I mean, isness itself. How incredible is that? The ability just to be, to exist. The gift of life is given so we can celebrate life. And again, life is what we are, right? So we can know life and celebrate life. The gift of awareness is given so we can love awareness. Awareness is this amazing, amazing thing because it has, you know, I call the arm of awareness attention. But it has this ability to taste anything, to experience anything. You know, if I dip awareness into a sad thought, I experience sadness. If I dip awareness into strawberry jam, I experience strawberry jam. If I dip awareness into a sunrise, I experience sunrise. If I dip awareness into an angry thought, I experience anger. It can experience anything. Why wouldn't we love something that enables us to experience anything? Without it, there's no experience, right? Life without awareness is non-experience. Life plus awareness. Now everything is possible. The gift of awareness is given so we can love awareness. The gift of spontaneity is given so we can enjoy the miracle of spontaneity. And by spontaneity, I mean whatever is happening in this moment. It's all a miracle. It's every single thing that's happening is a miracle. And it's given so that we can see the miracle it is. So that we can love the miracle. It's like that song, Everything is Holy Now. We can love the miracle that anything is at all. And how it's all working together. The gift of life is given so we can celebrate life. The gift of awareness is given so we can love awareness. The gift of spontaneity is given so we can enjoy the miracle of spontaneity. I will embrace this birth by becoming intimately enthralled with my true self. This Regina suit is the perfect medium for getting to know what I am. All right, and that was my top of the hour contemplation. So now I'm going to share my bottom of the hour contemplation because we are at the bottom of the hour. My part is essential to God's plan for salvation. If the plan is for the whole to be happy and celebrate, how can that be done without me? Can the whole be happy without my happiness? And I think the answer to that is no. Even if everyone else was happy, if I was the one holdout, then the whole would not be happy. It would still be missing a little piece, right? Can the whole be happy without my happiness? Can the whole celebrate without my celebration? I am integral to this plan. Most importantly, I can only know its gifts through my individual cooperation with it. So thank you for letting me just contemplate those one more time. And that is the end of the hour. So I'll release the mic and I'll see you all next week. Bye.